This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run. Now, as we know, borders have somewhat reopened, both national, state and also internationally. But how are airlines doing? So after more than a year of struggle, I think some of the airlines in Asia Pacific, including Malaysian Airlines, which has just, we just had a conversation with them on the breakfast grill, are finally seeing some light at the end of the tunnel. So countries like Malaysia, we have opened up and are creating selected tourist destinations as travel bubbles to revive the tourism industry.
But the question is, should investors adopt a wait-and-see approach before they jump in to buy airline stocks? Or is the reopening part of the acceleration of the recovery across the aviation sector?
So to give us a sense on whether airline stocks are worth investing in now, we have on the line with us James Teo, Transport and Logistics Analyst from Bloomberg. Now, James, thank you for joining us again. We have seen in Malaysia travel-related stocks, for example, Air Asia, witness significant recovery following domestic reopening. Do you think this upward trend for these type of travel counters will sustain?
Hi, good morning. Yes, I certainly think that there's still some more upside for some of these travel names like you mentioned. I mean, the reason is quite simple. The domestic travel has substantially recovered in quite a lot of markets. But international is still at a fraction of what it was before the pandemic. So I think there's definitely a bit of upside. But at the same time, you know, the extent of further, you know, recovery in the valuations from this point, I think we need to be wary that, you know, for the airlines, there's a lot of debt that's been incurred because there's been so much cash burn over the past one and a half years or so. So this is going to, you know, really be a drag, right? The debt, it has to be serviced, it has to be repaid somehow. Some of them have gotten state aids from their governments. So, you know, it's not all going to come for free. So you have to pay it back somehow through your future profits. So in that sense, you know, valuation has upside, but I think, you know, the extent or the, you know, further recovery from here, the upside could be limited as well.
So can you help us frame the type of recovery? Because we always have this conversation, whether it's the premium carriers like Cathay or Singapore Airlines or the point-to-point low-cost carriers like Air Asia. Do you frame it that way? Or perhaps you look at the balance sheets of these businesses instead?
Well, I think the there's one way to look at it is, you know, because of the virus and all that, people might fear traveling through crowded travel hubs for a while. So I think in the initial period, there will be a preference for point-to-point travel, point-to-point flights. So the low-cost carriers in that sense, you know, can benefit. And in fact, you know, we see very strong demand for private jets travel. So, I mean, of course, it's a very niche segment, but I think it showcases, you know, the passengers' concerns about during this kind of environment where, you know, people are afraid of the virus still. So, you know, I think this is one angle, definitely, that we will see some differentiation. And but I don't think, you know, the network or hub and spoke model is going to go away, and especially for long haul travel, it doesn't, you know, make economic sense. It's just not feasible to fly, let's say, long haul to a secondary or a third tier city in, you know, far away in the US, let's say. So you're going to need that hub and spoke model. You're going to fly to the major hubs in the US, let's say, and then connect to another domestic flight. And so that model will still be there for the long haul. But I think, you know, international long haul travel is still going to be slower to recover. So, you know, whether it's short haul versus long haul, I think, you know, there's a differentiation there. So you will see point to point short haul travel being preferred or recovering faster, so to speak.
And James, just to build on this, it seems like domestic travel is the one sweet spot. So to have exposure to this, is it better to play some of the China based airlines then?
Yes, I think, you know, we were very positive on the Chinese market. The Chinese carriers, we have seen how the Chinese carriers, at one point, their domestic travel was already, you know, above the 2019, which is the pre-pandemic levels already. So it got hit subsequently a little bit in the last couple of months, in the middle of this year, so to be more accurate. And that's because of the, you know, second wave, the Delta variant coming out. But I think quite quickly, we are seeing very strong recovery again. So I think we're at probably, I mean, we don't have the latest numbers for this month yet, but I believe they're already around the 80-90% level. So, you know, we could hit back to 100% and above again by end of this year for the Chinese market. So, yes, I would say countries with big domestic markets like the US and China, I think these are the good names to look at as well.
And can I get a perspective? Because we've been talking about demand, but what about costs? And one of the biggest concerns with costs is fuel price. So how do you expect rising fuel prices to impact travel recovery?
Well, I think, I'm not really expecting oil to run up much further. I think it has kind of reached that sweet spot, right? It's relatively high, but not too high. And I think that's the kind of price that, you know, OPEC would be happy with. And if you think about it, a lot of the governments are also quite concerned with inflation right now. They don't want it to run too high. So I think, you know, it's at that level where, you know, I think it will not derail travel or airlines recovery. It definitely will have some impact on them in terms of the cost, but it's not going to be a major factor here. I think revenues, you know, making sure that people travel again, how to stimulate that, how to get people flying again, I think that's still the airline's priority. And I think that will be key as well to the whole recovery trajectory.
Now, I want to look across the whole aviation industry's value chain. Which part of the industry are worth looking at now, though?
I think one area that may be overlooked is this passenger to cargo aircraft conversions. So, I mean, some of these, aircraft maintenance, repair, overhaul companies, they also have an arm. For example, this is ST Engineering, Singapore Technologies, and they have this business where they convert passenger aircraft into cargo aircraft. And you know, right now, because of all the supply chain disruptions, actually the cargo and logistics is very important. So air freight is one of the ways that you can overcome some of the bottlenecks that we are seeing in shipping. So we're seeing how Amazon, for example, has announced that they are looking to buy more cargo aircraft. And companies like FedEx, UPS, DHL, they are actually the largest operators of cargo aircraft in the world. So we, you know, don't think of only the airlines, you know, like Cathay, although they have a decently big cargo business as well, but really look at the logistics names like FedEx, Amazon, and I think these guys are going to be very active in the cargo airline space as well.
All right, thank you for your time. That was James Teo from Bloomberg telling us that, hey, aviation sector looks a little bit brighter, but there's still a lot of speed bumps along the way. I think jet fuel being the big one, because on a year-to-date basis, it's also almost up 100%. And as we know, COVID-19, humbling virus, any moment, international or even state borders can be shut. So a little bit of optimism there, but I wonder whether valuations have run ahead. Because if I look at some of the stocks, like, for example, Singapore Airlines up 28% on a year-to-date basis, even Asiana Airlines up 86%, a lot of these are recovery themes that have already been played out.
Yeah, but if you don't take the opportunity to restructure your balance sheet, your liabilities, you're in for a rough ride later.
Keep it here, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.